are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
This week, listen to Ross McGill, founder of Teacher Toolkit, interview Martin Taus, principal of St. Christopher's International Primary School in Penang, Malaysia. In today's podcast, some of the things we'll be discussing are the challenges of accessing CPD in international schools, the history of the Federation of British International Schools in Asia, and tips for workload and managing mental health for head teachers.
Introduce yourself to people watching and people listening, what you do, where we are, you know, your job.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Martin Taus. I've been here principal now, I'm in my sixth year. We're in the beautiful island of Penang, which is very warm and welcoming and friendly. And that is actually the feel of the school, which I think you could agree to.
How long have you been on the international circuit?
21 years.
Okay, so if we rewind back to the beginning, where did you train, qualify?
So I went to Coleg Normal, which is in Bangor in North Wales.
Okay.
It's now actually a faculty of the Bangor University. Started there. When I finished there, I worked for 2 years in a place called Connors Quay.
Okay.
2 years in the UK. Had a very, very good induction into the profession. But I was slightly older than some others, as I'd worked previously in another career. And there was a lure of the international world. And so from there, I actually went to Africa.
Okay.
So I was 3 years in the International School of Zanzibar in Tanzania.
Uh-huh.
Again, an amazing experience. And then following from there, it was a small school, an island, which is interesting. I think we've come full circle slightly.
Yes.
From there, I then moved to a much larger school and a newer school, Harrow International School, Bangkok. Mm-hmm. And I was part of its growth. And I was there for 10 years, which is when I moved into more of a senior leadership role.
Okay.
And then from there, I moved there to Harrow Beijing, where I was the deputy headmaster.
So what are the challenges that teachers face in an international setting as a teacher? What are the hardships?
I think that they can be different in different countries, depending on where you are. I think that where actually education has changed a lot, I think initially CPD was a massive one, which would have been, am I going to be current? Am I going to be up to date with what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that has now changed, and being part of Phobos here is supported that. Schools have opened up more and we're a lot more collaborative. That wasn't the way it used to be.
Okay.
I think that any schools, they're busy schools.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the big schools that are out there, they're very busy. They are research-based, they're pushing things through, but you can workload, just like in the UK, can be an issue.
So what are all the lovely things about working internationally abroad? Benefits for teachers?
You get to work in beautiful places like we are in now. I think the work-life balance can be a real positive. Quality of life is one thing you get.
Mm-hmm.
Depending where you are, different things. When I was in Beijing, we had access to snow, we had culture, very, very different.
Yeah.
So that's what I was learning a lot more about. In a place like this, it's beautiful weather.
It is.
You have that, so we have access to beaches and things like that. Tell
us a bit more about the school itself. So how many kids, how long has it been open?
Okay, yeah, the school's been open 55 years. There are 580 children on roll at the moment.
Okay.
There are 37 different nationalities.
37, right, wow.
Yeah, so Penang itself, and particularly Malaysia, is they're very welcoming to expatriates. So lots of people come here for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So
my first time to Penang, it's a very international feel, and it is very friendly. Tell me a little bit more about Penang and what it's like to work here as a teacher.
Okay. Well, the Malaysian population themselves are three different ethnicities, Malay, Malay Chinese, and Malay Indian. With that comes very different cultures. Lots of, and there's an acceptance. So they're already accepting of each other, and then along with that, with other people coming in.
And how does that translate into the classroom for the teachers then, those 37 languages and the cultures of Malaysia and Penang particularly?
First of all, there's a lot to share. And there's a lot of accepting, and you are learning off each other. We use the international primary curriculum, and that's really important, so that the children, doesn't matter where they're from, the backgrounds they are, they have, they can access that curriculum for there. We do follow the English national curriculum for English, maths and science.
What are your kind of current strategic aims, like research, curriculum, you know, everything probably, but what are your key focuses right now?
Life without levels is affecting all schools, and we didn't jump into anything straight away. We are working with a company called Learning Ladders from the UK.
Yeah.
When I go back to recruit in the UK, I visit schools who are using that to work out how they are doing it and how we want to do it. We've been trialling it now for a year and a half, and we've implemented it, and so we're using it in a certain way that it works with us. Coaching is a big one that we're working with at the moment, how we want to develop coaching.
So where are you on your coaching journey in your school?
At the beginning.
Right, so you're just literally kind of kick-starting.
So beginning of this year, I brought in a fantastic provider, has nothing to do with education, which I really like, so I'm learning from a different industries. She came in, she actually is a resident on the island, but works with other big companies. She's come in and given us the basics, which a lot of staff have moved on. We then have done a recent other session with staff who want to be champions. And then we've looked at how we would use it, particularly within, we don't do lesson observations. We do coaching, reflective coaching.
Amen.
So it's more about them reflecting on what they've done through a coaching model. And within appraisal as well, we don't do appraisal. We do professional reviews, which is about, it's something you do, it's not done to you.
Yeah.
And again, using a coaching model.
About lovely.
For them to identify their targets, not me giving them three.
In terms of recruitment and retention, what's your staff? How many teachers do you have in the school?
42.
And recruitment, good. I know if you're watching kind of international, there's a contract kind of process as part of working internationally. But how does that pan out for you recruitment-wise in this context?
We do the normal recruitment things. We recruit like most of the international schools through the Times Educational Supplement. Being a primary school, we're quite easy to advertise, and our turnover is probably about 4 to 5 a year. Ours is a 3-year contract. Interestingly, a lot of teachers are a bit scared with 3 years. Why am I having to be locked in? Well, actually, if you are an international teacher or you are thinking about it, depending on the school that you could be in, it actually goes really quickly. Everyone says it goes in a flash.
Right.
By the time you've done the first year, I would then be asking you, what are your intentions? And you say, well, I've just arrived.
So do you struggle to recruit? Or, I mean, you've got a beautiful building, beautiful location. I'd imagine you're quite popular in some respects.
We are, but we're a not-for-profit school, which is a plus, but it also means that we're not as lucrative as some of the other schools.
So with its challenges, I'm sure.
But the island is a standard of living, and the cost of living on the island is good. Mm-hmm. And so our staff have a very good work-life balance.
Yeah, and Tell people watching and people listening why I'm here, but what's going on at the school this weekend?
Okay, we're one of the founding schools of FOBASEA, which is the Federation of British International Schools in Asia, which has been going 31 years. And as I mentioned before, that was one of the challenges. But back in 1988, a group of heads within the region decided we should get together and share information and support each other. That has now developed to 69 schools and will grow. We are hosting this weekend 160 teachers from across Asia coming in. And obviously, you are one of the keynotes, which is fantastic. And it's just to share good practice. And it's been well received.
And last weekend, you did an event in Macau, like a leadership version.
Very much it's a leadership version there, with, again, great keynotes and lots of opportunities with membership sharing what they know.
And your school's obviously hosted the event and provided everyone with facilities, and what kind of things have people been sharing this weekend in the sessions?
Technology. Technology is a big thing. Well-being is a big factor around as well. Learning spaces. There's one at the moment going on about how to declutter the learning space and make sure it's there. Just a wealth. And the way that we work is we actually set out 5 possible areas which they moved in. We looked at the primary and the secondary aspects as well, so some are whole school, some are more specific, and I think that by 160 people coming in from flying in and from the region, it's shown that It's a big buy.
There really is a widespread of countries and nationalities and expertise, actually, SLT to NQT here at the event.
And a really nice one, it was the TA College have come in as well with Eva. And we have 25 teaching assistants here, which is something I've been wanting to promote for a long time.
It's been great to see teaching
assistants. They are a fantastic resource.
I'm going to finish with three questions. One on workload, mental health, and the third one on what if, in terms of international. What would be your top tip for teachers in terms of managing workload? or starting offers ahead, what's your workload tip for head teacher, best piece of advice?
Take it slow. Don't rush in. Because if I keep coming up with all the ideas, and there's plenty out there, and I go into a school, I've got to make sure that if I'm trying to lead someone, if no one's following me, then I'm not leading, am I?
What would be your top tip for managing your mental health as a head teacher? How do you look after yourself?
That is a very good question, and one I feel I'm doing, and I'm trying to process it at the moment. I think find support. Find what the support you need is, and it may not be within your school. It may be outside. So there are an interesting one for me here is I have local friends, so I actually have a life here.
Right.
Where I was
what do you do to relax?
Yeah. Hashing, which is running through the jungles.
Right, okay.
It actually started in British Army in Malaysia.
Right.
And so, different chapters, and I belong to two different chapters, and so we can go for a 3K run to a 15K run through the jungles.
And what would be your top tip to anyone watching, maybe teachers in the United Kingdom, that are considering the first time stepping into the international circuit? What would be your advice in terms of choosing the right school or the right pocket of the world? Any advice?
Do your homework. There's a lot, and it's growing. The international market is really growing.
So what do you mean by homework? Like websites, networks?
Look at the websites. Check the information. If you know anyone in the region, all of those things. Contact the school. Find out about them. And one of the other ones, when you do have an interview, and I ask this all the time when I'm wanting the questions to come back.
Yeah.
So if I'm questioning someone in an interview, and they ask me questions back, I think that's fantastic.
Right, good, Martin. It's been lovely to meet you.
And you, Ross,
I'm going to post another video for people watching. So I know people are listening on the podcast at the same time, but we're going to post another video. I was on a little tour around the school if you want to see what the school looks like here in Penang.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.